So if you have your Bibles, and I know that we do, you're going to have to blow the dust off of this book of the Bible. I ask that you meet me at Nahum chapter 1, just one verse, verse 7. You're going to have to blow the dust. It's Old Testament. You can go to Malachi and go backwards. Nahum, N-A-H-U-M, chapter 1, beginning at verse 7. When you get there, say amen. If you need a minute, say wait a minute. Nahum, chapter 1, beginning at verse 7. And it reads, "The Lord is good, a strong refuge when trouble comes. He is close to those who trust in him." Let me read this again. The Lord is good. He's a strong refuge when trouble comes. He is close to those who trust in him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing and adhering of his word. And if I could tag this text this morning, it would be coming from the thought, the subject, "The Lord is good." That's good news for somebody, right? That the Lord that we serve is good. The book of Nahum is the seventh book of the 12 minor prophets of the Bible. And when I mean by minor prophet, not in impact, but in length of the book, it was believed to have been written between 663 and 612 BC. Many scholars believe that Nahum was written at a time of the fall of Nineveh at the hands of the Medes and the Babylonians in 612 BC. Little is known about Nahum's personal history. His name means comforter or consolation. And he was from the town of Elkosh, which scholars have attempted to identify with several cities, including modern Alkish of Assyria and Capernaum of northern Galilee. The subject of Nahum's prophecy is the approaching complete and final destruction of Nineveh, the capital of the great and the, at the time, flourishing Assyrian empire. And for some, the city of Nineveh may sound familiar because this is the city 150 years ago that prior where Jonah didn't want to preach to had got at the people concerning their corruption. Jonah didn't want to go because he knew that if they had heard the word of God, that they would be redeemed. They would come to repentance. So Jonah, what he did was he went to Tarshish and a storm came. We know this. And he got thrown over sea. He said, "Throw me over sea." And a great fish swallowed him up. And in 3 days and three nights, he was in the belly of the fish and then he was spit out. And then he ended up going to where he was supposed to go, which is Nineveh. How many know that you can't run from God? It doesn't matter what you want to do. If God tells you to do something, you might as well be obedient and get it done anyway. And after they heard the word, they repented of their sins, but their repentance was short-lived. The people lived just as bad, if not worse, than they had done before. Isn't it just like people to start off right, but then the old person comes back and they revert right back to how they used to be or even worse than they were before? The Assyrians had become absolutely brutal in their conquests, hanging the bodies of their victims on poles and putting their skin on the walls of their tents, among other atrocities. And now Nahum was telling the people of Judah to not despair because God had pronounced judgment. And the Assyrians would soon be getting just what they deserved. And if we're going to be honest, there are times in our lives in which we felt overwhelmed. We felt that darkness seems to be outshining the good. Amen, somebody. Both within ourselves and in the world. And Nahum lived in a time in which the faithful wondered how long must they resist cultural and spiritual compromise. I don't know about you, but it gets harder and harder each and every day living for God in a world that is so anti-God. You see it more and more people's morality has turned down, and now they're accepting any and every old thing. And if you decide to stand for what the Bible says and what God says, you are considered a hater. If you just stand for truth, now everybody is coming looking at you. And while Nahum's message is about God's imminent judgment and wrath, there is, however, a bright spot in verse 7. Nestled in verse 7, we see words of hope and comfort to let you know, you and I know, that no matter how dark and difficult life may be right now, the Lord is good. That should be some comfort to somebody, to know that no matter what is going on in your life, that God is and always will be good. Even when death invades your family, the Lord is good. Somebody knows what I'm talking about this morning. When you lose your job, guess what? The Lord is still good. And when your marriage seems to be coming apart, guess what? The Lord is still good. When your children have lost their cotton picking minds, they acting crazy. You didn't raise them that way, but guess what? The Lord is still good. Even when you've been diagnosed with cancer or any other disease, guess what? The Lord is good. Now, how does that apply to us today? That no matter what we're going through, guess what? If you don't hear anything else, God is and always will be good. This scripture shows us that there's a purpose. Did you know that there's a purpose of God in the world and for the church? Once again, Nahum means consolation. It means comfort. It also means judgment and vengeance. And what the future holds for the church and the world is totally different. For the church, it holds consolation and deliverance. And for the world, it holds vengeance and judgment. But I'm so glad that one day Jesus is coming back to get us out of here. The more and more we watch on TV, the more and more I don't want to watch TV. I'm tired of listening and watching and hearing about violence continuing to be more prevalent in our communities. I'm tired of seeing the corruption in our government. I'm tired of people ripping people off. I'm frustrated and tired that gas seems to keep going up, but our salaries keep continuing to stay the same. One day God is going to rescue us out of here from all this foolishness that's going on. And that's should be comforting to somebody, to know that this isn't the end all and be all. That God is so gracious, he's going to get us out of here. But it's also a warning for those who say, you know what, that's just, you know what, you keep that God thing, that's your thing, but that's not mine. It's also a warning to let you know that payday may not always come on Friday, but it's coming. You can't hide from God. You even if you try to manipulate, God still sees everything, and he knows everything that's going on. But that's comforting, to know that no matter what we see, God is good. As a matter of fact, Deacon Washington, I don't know if y'all heard about a gunshot with an 8-year-old student. That was his school. He's sitting right there in the back. God is good. He kept him through danger, seen and unseen. It doesn't matter what it looks like. God is good. There's three truths that we're going to see and pull out of this text. And then we'll take our seat and then we'll go and enjoy our soul food Sunday. But the first thing that we see in verse 7 is we see God's goodness. Somebody knows what I'm talking about when I say that God's been good. All you got to do is look in the mirror and see a miracle. With the things that you've been through and God through dangers seen and unseen allowed you to see another day. The least you could do is just give God thank you. Because God has been good. He's been kind. He's been better to us than we've been to ourselves. And God's goodness refers to his benevolence. It's his kindness when we don't deserve it. I don't know about you, but it's hard being kind to somebody that don't deserve it. You know, maybe you can be kind and you can be loving, but when somebody is mean to me and don't deserve it, the last thing I think about is being kind. I think about being even. Amen. You know, I'm going to preach to the clock. It's just me and the clock talking today. But there's sometimes I don't want to be kind, but I'm so glad that God looks beyond our faults and he sees our needs and he's been kind to us. Even when we don't deserve it. You see, God knows our thoughts. He knows your thoughts when you came in this morning. He knows the words that you said. I don't know about you, but one of the things that I struggle with, one of the many, is called road rage. Amen, somebody. Yeah. Somebody, I got some road rages in here with me. I'm not glorifying it, but I'm just keeping it real. And every now and then, somebody may cross me. And my words that come out ain't always, oh, God, bless them. Lord, help them get to where they need to be. Sometimes I'm saying, look at this fool right here. You are an idiot right now. As a matter of fact, I was on the phone with my man Paul yesterday, and he heard me go off on somebody yesterday. It was some road rage, but I'm so glad. Because if it was me, I'd say, you deserve to get in an accident. But God, through his danger, seen and unseen, kept them. He gives kindness when we don't deserve it. And that's important to know, that God is good in his very being, his very nature. He's good. That's who he is. It's like your character and your nature is who you are when nobody's around. See, it's easier to front like you got it all together or that you're holy when we're in church for not that long, but the true you eventually is going to come out. And that's why many of us run out of church right when it's over. It's because you don't want the true you to come out. Many of us through life circumstances, and usually life circumstances bring out the true you. I said this before, many of us through life's experiences, we're sometimes in a hot water situation. You know, when a tea bag goes in hot water, guess what the hot water does? It pulls whatever is in the tea bag out. Some of us, when the hot water hits and when things happen, the true you eventually is going to come out. There's only so much hiding you can do. And what you do is try to run, but you can't hide. But God's character, his nature, God is God, whether you want to acknowledge he's God or not. He's good, whether you want to acknowledge he's good or not. That's who he is. God is good independently, all by himself. He doesn't need anyone to help him be good. He is good. And I say that, it's funny because my wife sometimes says that I could be mean at times to other people. She'll just, hey, to the neighbors, good morning, how you doing? And I don't want to talk and do all that. I'm just being real. And sometimes you'll say, look, be nice. It's not, and then come to find out, I got some nice neighbors. But she forces me to be good when I don't want to be good. The thing about God is no one forces him to be good. Being good is who he is. God is eternally good, and he cannot not be good. Does that make sense? He cannot not be good. Being good is who God is. God is good in each of his divine persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are all. He is good. He's good in all acts of grace. He's good in his plans and his purposes. And that's good news to know, that sometimes we Look, life gives us a hard blow sometimes. We get hit hard. We take hits through life. And sometimes you get some bruises and some scars along the way. But because you understand who God is, you know that it's for your good in his glory. Maybe if it was coming from me, you may have some doubts. But when it comes from God, you got to understand that God has his best interest, your best interest at heart. And that's comforting to know that whatever comes your way, guess what? It first has to get permission by God. It isn't like God gets distracted and turns his back and then all this trouble comes in. No, in order for trouble to come, God has to first give it permission. So if trouble comes, if sickness comes, you got to ask, Lord, what are you trying to show me right now? See, often we want to complain and cry. And Lord says, no, I want you to be a student. There's a lesson that I got to teach you. The school of hard knocks has begun. And I wish that I could just leave this school of hard knocks. I wish this was virtual and I can just close my tablet or my iPad. I don't want to talk anymore. My laptop. I wish, but no, you know what? You can't navigate this. Trouble is going to come your way, but there is a purpose and a plan, and it is always good. Other ways in which God is good is that he saved you. The work of redemption shows how good God is, how gracious he is to die for people that didn't even have him on their minds, with sin, covered in sin, and he still loved you enough to send his only one-of-a-kind son. That's truly love. That's truly God being good. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God demonstrated his love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died. Meaning that God had you in mind even when you was out doing your thing, when you was partying, when you was doing your due, when you was doing your thing. God had you in mind. That's how he shows his goodness, because he died for you. Even the atheist, God died for you. He died for each and every one of you. And it's funny that the atheist who says that there isn't a God, God is still allowing you to borrow his air and give you time to get it right. That shows how good God is. Because if I knew, me personally, that you didn't like me, I would took your air away from you. But God's gracious and he shows how good he is. He could easily snatch your breath, but it's by his grace and mercy that we're here to see another day. And it's significant for us to notice that when Nahum says the Lord is good, he is saying this in the midst of hard times. There's a lesson here. So often when things go well, we'll say, isn't God good? Won't he do it? We'll say that when we get a new car, when we get engaged, when we get married. Won't God do it? When he blesses us with a new house, when we get a raise, won't God do it? I've heard us say that before, but what we learn here is that even in trouble, even in illness, even when things come your way, God is still good. He didn't turn off the good when things are going bad. No, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. God has not changed his goodness. He's always good. Romans 8:28 says, but this is good news, for we know that all things are working together for our good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You see, faith looks up despite overwhelming trial, and it cries out, the Lord is good. True faith, when it's under fire, will say the Lord is good even when you don't see a way out. True faith will say, the Lord I live and the Lord I die. Naked I came in this world and naked I shall return. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what true faith is. True faith is, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I may not like it, but he's still worthy anyhow. So not only do we see God's goodness, but secondly, we see God's protection. Some translation says a strong refuge when trouble comes. Others says a stronghold when troubles come. In a refuge is a shelter. It's where we hope and trust, and it's a place you run to for protection. It's a place like right now it's raining. For the most part, nobody's going to stand in the rain and just say, oh, bring the rain. You usually run somewhere to not allow the rain to hit you. That's what God's refuge is. He's a refuge. He's the place and the person that we run to for protection. But not only is he a refuge, he's a stronghold. That means he's a place that's been fortified and protects against enemy attacks. So God is so decent that he's not only the person that you run to, but he also fortifies you that nobody can get in and hurt you. And only God can do that. Only God can fortify the place that you're in. Amen. The Lord is the one place. He's the only person that we can go to and confide all of our thoughts, all of our fears, all of our hopes, all of our dreams, everything. I'm so glad that we could tell the Lord whatever and don't have to worry about it getting out. Amen, somebody. It's nothing worse than telling somebody that you trusted in, somebody that you confided in, some things, and then the word gets out and you say, oh my goodness, I can't even trust this person with something personal. But I'm so glad that if you have a little talk with Jesus and tell him all about your problems, he'll keep all of that to himself. He knows your hopes. He knows your dreams. He knows everything. And there is no relationship like the one you can have with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's important to notice that as God's people, we are not promised exemption from trouble because we belong to the Lord, but were promised a refuge. Jesus never told us that we're not going to experience trouble. As a matter of fact, he was up front and said, in this world, you shall have tribulation. You're going to have trials. You're going to have problems. You're going to have situations coming your way. Doesn't matter who you are. You can't duck them. You can't dodge them. Trouble is going to find you. And if you haven't experienced trouble, you keep on living. Trouble is going to find you. You can't avoid it. He didn't promise that we wouldn't have trouble, but he promised a refuge. That's good news to know that he said, even in the storm, I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to be a person and someone that you can hide when the storm comes. So often when storms come, we run to different places. Many people I've seen run to Facebook. Run to social media, which to me is the craziest thing that you could do. To tell everybody your business. And it really scratches an itch that many of us have, which is newsiness and gossip. And we love it. Look, we don't have to watch reality TV. You don't have to go to whatever channel. Y'all know the reality TV shows, Love and Hip Hop, all that stuff. But there's an itch that we scratch when we watch. When people put their business out on Facebook, did you see what they said? Maybe on Twitter, maybe you're not Facebook, maybe you're IG. Yeah, you put your business somewhere. But they put their business out there, and then it boggles to mind. They rather have just attention, just so they can be considered relevant. But it's foolish to tell everybody and broadcast to Facebook and social media. If you're going to tell anybody, you better tell the Lord. You better tell your pastor, amen, what you're thinking, what you're feeling. And it's funny, I don't know why the Lord is keeping me here, but so many times you see people going back and forth on Facebook, and people sometimes don't even know there's drama until you broadcast it out there. There's something in you that feels the need to be highlighted. I'm going to be honest. My life ain't important for me to put it on Facebook. It ain't that deep. Hey, amen. I don't have to check in everywhere and say, oh, I'm here today. And da, da, look, honestly, I don't care where you are. That's just me. You know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should care where you are. Maybe I should care that you ate breakfast at, you know, I mean, over here. Maybe I should care. But I really don't. There's more important things to deal with than where you're eating, what drama is going on. In Proverbs 18 and 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it, and they are safe. The decent part about it, it says, the name of the Lord. It didn't say, well, the church is a strong tower. Because what happens when COVID hits? What happens when disaster strikes? It just says the very name of the Lord, Yahweh, is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Just the name in by itself is enough for me. You ever been in a situation and things got chaotic and you said, oh, Jesus, help me. And all of a sudden it changes. It's something about that name, Jesus. It's something about that name, Jesus. It's nothing like that name, Jesus. Even atheists I've heard say Jesus. People that don't believe in God, it's something about that name. It is the sweetest name I know. It's something that demons tremble at that name, Jesus. Things change at his name, Jesus. There's protection in his name. There's peace in his name. There's joy in his name. There's power in his name. There's covering in his name. There's healing in his name. Something about that name, Jesus. Where the enemy has to flee. He cannot stand here. In his name, Jesus. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God our Father, something about that name, Jesus. Jesus will make the crooked straight. He can heal the broken. He can clean our hearts. He can clean our minds. He can clean our mouths. He can turn a cusser into a praiser. Only God can do something like that. The Bible says the only thing that you can't bridle is the tongue. The tongue is out of control. Let's be honest. There's some things that I've said in anger that I will not repeat. See, I said newsiness. We want to know, what did you say? I'm not going to tell you what I said. But there's some things that we say that I said that I'm not proud of, but I'm so glad that God covers. He forgives us of our sins and cleanses us of all unrighteousness. Only an extreme and an awesome God like that can clean our mouths. He can clean our hearts and clean our minds. Trouble may come, but trouble will not prevail. Because God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Not only is God, we see God's goodness, not only we see God's protection, but thirdly, we see God's knowledge. The C part of that verse 7 says, he is close to those who trust in him. Some other translation says, and he knows those who trust in him. Not only does he know them in the sense of identification, but he also knows them in the sense of relationship. And trust implies relationship. And God knows those who trust in him. Amen. It's one thing to say it, but God knows really who trusts in him. Now, is it a struggle? Is it difficult? Yes, absolutely. But we can't measure God with other people. Like, if I can put my trust in somebody else, you're going to let me down. But when I put my trust in Jesus, guess what? I can put my whole weight on it. I can count on him to bring me through. I've seen in some commentaries that trusting is almost like when you lay on a bed. For the most part, when you lay on your bed, you sometimes dive on it. You fall on it because you trust that the bed is going to be able to hold you and support you. That's the same way when we trust God. You put your whole weight, Lord, I can't handle this, but boom. Put all your weight on it. And guess what? God is big enough. He's strong enough. He's bad enough to be able to hold you. You can trust God with everything. And God knows those who trust him. And know here also means loving communion. God knows us. I mean, God really knows us. He knows our prayers. He knows our tears. He knows our wishes. He knows our wants. He knows our desires. But it's also, I'm always amazed that so many people get caught up in titles and things at church. It is a privilege to be able to serve in any capacity. If I got to be a doorkeeper, then let me be a doorkeeper. I don't crave to be in front, but God, the more I don't crave, God throws me out there because I'm going to keep giving him glory. But this is not my goal. My aim is not to be, oh, I want to be in front. No, everybody's role is important. And the reason why I'm saying that is because our motivation, God knows our motives of why we do what we do. See, many people, there's different types of motives. There's extrinsic motivation. That means that you only want praises from people outside. You do what you do because you want other people to praise you. There's intrinsic because there's something in you that you want to get praised. But you know what? I just want God motivation. I want God to be pleased with whatever I do. That's my motivation. My motivation isn't to get praise or is it to get glory. It's to make sure that God is happy with me. God knows our aspirations. He knows what you aspire to be. And it's nothing wrong with having aspirations. But when you get it, make sure you give God the glory. God knows our groans. He knows when there's things that you're going through that words can't even express, but God knows it. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit interprets the groans. And that's good news to know that sometimes when all you can say is, oh, Lord, he knows exactly what you need at that moment. God knows our secret longings. He knows what you long for. He knows how we feel when we mess up and fall. He knows it. He knows it all. When God knows us, and he knows us totally, he knows everything about you. And that's why when God decides to use you, the nerve of us to look at somebody else when we know, like, look, I'm a piece of work. Amen. And God still decides to use me. But God wants us. He knows the secrets of our hearts. He knows the intimate. He knows the issues that flow from our hearts. But he approves and he owns them and he preserves them. He is close to those who care or cares for those who, trust in him. Three things that we see right now, and we'll take my seat. He guarantees. Here there's the guarantee of possession. He knows that those that belong to him, he will never let you go. That's good news to know that if you're God, with God and standing for him, he will never let you go. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So if you're God, if you're his possession and you follow Jesus Christ, guess what? Nobody can snatch you out of his hand. No matter how much they try, no one can snatch you out of the Father's hands. And that's good news. That no matter what hell or high water comes your way, nothing can snatch you out of your Father's hand. Not only is a guarantee of his possession, but secondly, there's a guarantee of his purpose. Job 23:10 says, but he knows the ways that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come out as pure gold. you going through, there's a purpose and a plan for why God has you going through. It's to help somebody else. It's not to sit on what you've gotten. It's to help somebody else. And then when you come through, not if, but when you come through, it says you're going to come out as pure gold. You know, a blacksmith, when they build a sword or where they build it, they stick it in the fire. The metal in the fire, and they pull it out, and I think it's called dross. They get it off, and then they put it back in. And the blacksmith or the refiner, there you go, that's the better word, the refiner will keep it in the fire, but when he takes it out, he will look, and if he does not see the reflection, he will put the sword or back in the fire. May I suggest that many of us are still in the fire is because we still are acting like us, and we're not acting more like Christ. So God is going to keep putting us in the fire. He's going to keep turning it up until we start acting and talking and behaving like Jesus Christ. So rather than kicking and screaming, or rather than complaining, just let God keep you in the fire. And it may be painful, and you may not like it, and Lord, get me out, but you know what? You still complaining. I don't see you yet. I got to put you back in. But he's going to hold you just a little longer, and then when you come out, you're going to say, only God, thank you for my troubles. Thank you for my trials. Thank you, because there's a purpose behind it. Not only is a guarantee of a possession in his purpose, but here's a guarantee of his provision. God will always provide for you, not only just with food and clothing, as he talks about in Matthew 6, but God always will supply your every need, and he watches over you. He will meet your every. That's so good to know that God may not give you your every want, but he will supply your every need. Amen. And that's why the song says, Lord, you are good. You've been so good. Lord, you are good. You've been better than good. I can't praise you enough. I owe you my life. I can't praise you enough, even if I try, because Lord, you've been so good. Lord, you've been so good. Lord, you've been so good to me. And the song says, so many doors you've opened, so many ways you've made, so many times you've healed me. You've been better than good to me. So many doors you've opened, so many ways you've made, so many times you've healed me. You've been better than good to me. And the song says, I can never repay you, Lord, for what you've done for me. How you loosed my shackles and you set me free. He made a way when there was no way. He made a way when there was no way. Lord, you've been so good. Not, Lord, you've been good, but you've been so good. Lord, you've been so good. Those that are watching right now, say, Lord, you've been so good. Lord, you've been so good. Lord, to me, you've been, Lord, you've been so good to me. Let's give the Lord some praise. He's worthy to be praised. You made a way when there was no way. Only God could get you out of the circumstances and the stuff that you've been in. When doctors said no, guess what? Jesus still said yes. You made a way when there was no way. Lord, you've been so good. And sometimes you got to declare that out of the hard place, even when you don't see it. Lord, you've been so good. Lord, you've been so good to me. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we worship you. We praise you.
We thank you. You've been so good, God. So good, God. You've been so good. You've been better than us than we've been to ourselves. You've been so good, God. I can never repay, God, what you've done. But I thank you. I praise you. You're worthy, God, to be praised. You've been good, God. For the next few seconds, just tell them how good. Thank you, God. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for keeping my mind, God. Thank you for protecting through danger, seen and unseen. Thank you for covering me, God. Thank you. I should have been dead, God, but thank you. I should have been out of my mind, but thank you. God, we thank you.
And my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord.
With our hands lifted up.
With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord.
With my hands lifted up.
With my hands lifted up.
Thank you, God, for keeping me.
And my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord.
I will bless thee, O Lord.
I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord.
With a heart of thanksgiving.
With a heart of thanksgiving.
I will bless thee, O Lord.
I will bless thee, O Lord.
One more time. I will bless thee, O Lord.
I will bless thee.
I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving. I will bless thee, O Lord.
He's worthy to be praised.
Hallelujah.
We don't want to assume that everyone knows the God that we serve. His name is Jesus. If you don't know him and the pardon of your sins, will you please come, or will you on the screen say, I want to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you don't know Jesus, will you please come? Tomorrow is not promised. The breath you breathe is not promised. Oh. Maybe you're saved, but secondly, you don't have a church home. The doors of ABC are open. Will you please come? And those that are watching, if you say, look, I want to join, put it on there and somebody will reach out to you. We're not a perfect church, but we're striving for perfection. We're under a band of God, our pastor, who preaches the word in season and out of season. Maybe you're saved, maybe you have a church home, but maybe you're in the back slid-in condition. You want to restore the relationship back to God. Will you come? Or if you're watching, say, look, that's me. I want to restore my relationship with God. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. I know it's communion. Lord, we ask God that you would have your way right now, God. We give everybody over to you, God. We say thank you. We say yes to your will, your word, and your way. For it's in Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. As we may be seated, this is communion. Oh, amen. Amen. Those that are watching, you may want to get some juice. Get a cracker. Every time we do this in remembrance of what the Lord has done, what he's done for us. Amen. And communion is a sacred time. We don't just do it just to do it. You want to do it with a clean heart. So for the next few moments, can we just ask God to praise the Lord, clean me, cleanse me. I came in wrong, but Lord, I want to take this right. Lord God, we ask that you clean us. Clean our hearts, God. Thank you, God, for cleaning us, God. We thank you. This we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Does everybody have one? I hope so. If not, I can't see, but hope so. Amen. Those at home, I know you got yours, right? At this time, if we'll peel back the top portion. This represents his body that was given for us. Let us eat together. Peel back the second portion. This juice represents his blood that was shed for us. We're not drinking his blood. This is representing of what he's done for us. Without the shedding of blood, there'd be no forgiveness of sins. Let us drink together. We thank you, God. We praise you. Let us go home in peace. Amen. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Amen. Let's get ready for our soul food Sunday. Amen. Hallelujah.